Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode in the Real Hauntings podcast. As you know, we've been releasing these really fun episodes every Thursday on a 10-part series where we're doing Joshua's Top 10 Countdown of Cryptids, the Cryptid Countdown, as it's also called. Joshua, thank you so much for coming back on for another episode.
Yeah, I love doing these episodes. So far, we've crossed off the first two of the Holy Cryptid Trinity, I like to think, with Bigfoot and werewolves or Dogman or whatever you like to call it. And now we're stepping into the last one with Champ, the Lake Champlain monster.
Yeah. And before we jump into our cryptid, we have an awesome guest we want to introduce the audience to. You've heard her a couple times on the Real Hauntings podcast. Dare I say, I think she's been with us since year one. It's Katie Boyle. Katie, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to learn about cryptoids.
You make it sound like something we're going to be trading, like on the internet for coins or something. An audience, as you know, Katie is a wonderful comedian out in New York. She's tearing up the scene, and she has a great TikTok and social media presence in general. Always makes me laugh whenever I come across her jokes. Katie, I know it's been a minute. How have you been? How's your life changed? How's the New York comedy scene?
It's good. It's good. Everything's good. I live in Chelsea now, so that's nice. But just because it's like I live with my boyfriend, so when my cousin heard Chelsea, she's like, oh, my God, are you like really wealthy now? And I'm like, no, it's a rent controlled apartment. Just very lucky.
You're like, yes, I'm the one rich comedian. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. So but it's amazing, like living in the city. And everything's going good. I finally started investing in a studio for my podcast, so people come watch it because it's so much money. I've been doing the podcast for like 4 years, but this is the first time that I was like, oh, I should start really investing in like a video element. So we'll see. Yeah. I don't know.
And while we're on that, why don't you plug your podcast?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's called The Shift. So it's on my YouTube now. It's been on all audio places for forever, but it's like dating relationships. Sometimes it's just the chats. So like, don't be turned off if you don't want to hear about Dane. It's a lot of the time it's just the chats, but it's a lot of fun with different comedians and sometimes experts. But yeah, and I have a cat now, side note. So that's my life's going really well.
Awesome. Yeah. Make sure you check out The Shift. I was on there, gosh, maybe like 2 years ago, I want to say, Katie, and we did an episode about celebrities, sex, ghost stories, or something along those lines. If I
celebrities
remember
have sex
correctly.
With ghosts.
Yeah. Yes. I am trying to figure out the video element as well. We recently moved about 4 or 5 months ago, and I put a little podcast studio in our house. So it's a work in progress, but getting there for sure. Well, Joshua, why don't you introduce us to our cryptid again? I know you said that we were going to the sea for this episode, so I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, well, we're going underwater. Can't have cryptids without doing some type of lake monster. And This one's all about the Lake Champlain monster. So it's kind of in your area, Katie, over in North New York and Vermont. But yeah, one of the oldest known lake monsters in the country. And it actually preceded the Loch Ness monster. So there were reports of this one before good old Nessie.
Wow. Can I say something? I realize I should have Googled this before. What is a crypnoid? I'm guessing from werewolf, and I'm sure the listeners, so sorry, bear with me, but it's like a man monster.
Cryptids are basically just animals or beings that are similar to animals that people can't prove are real. Kind of it's the same way like a ghost, you know, it's kind of pseudoscience. So they're kind of pseudo animals. Maybe they're here, maybe they're not. Nobody really knows. They're all blurry. So,
and it's a big part of why can't I say that word? Folklore. Folklore. What do you say, Joshua?
Yeah, folklore.
Oh, I was going to say like a banshee and like a leprechaun and all those would be cryptoids. Cryptoids.
What? Cryptids, cryptoids. I like the way you say it. So I'm just going to roll with that. But yeah, essentially, yeah, like banshees, leprechauns. Well, before we even get started, I'm very curious to hear, do you have any, I was listening to The Shift, ironically enough, and I was on your page and I saw the little note that you said about cannibals. I know it was all jokes, but it was really funny. From there, I gathered that you were obviously from Ireland. So in your experience, are cryptids or kind of pseudo animals very popular from your country?
Yeah, like I'm sure it's going to get lost, maybe even with the next generation. But definitely when I was small, I read a lot of folklore and was told a lot of folklore from my dad and my grandparents. The older generation of people definitely still believe in a lot of it because there's like a fairy tree in Ireland that a motorway is going around because they didn't want to knock down the fairy tree because it brings bad luck from the fairies. So there's a lot of that, like believing in these like fairy people. The banshee. Yeah, no one believes in leprechauns, but that was in the folklore. But I feel like people would more kind of maybe believe in like the fairy people or just like it's still like it's not as much, but it definitely was like I know my dad was reared on all those and all those stories.
Where do you fall on the line with fairies and those kind of things?
I don't know. I'm kind of like, yeah, sure. Like, I don't want to see a banshee because then I'll be like, shit, someone's going to die. So, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of like the fairy people is different to like fairy folklore here because fairy people in Ireland is that they basically lived in a different dimension and the time goes slower. And then when real humans came, they fought them, but they lost, but they went down to their other. So there's all these stories of real humans, not fairy people. Fairy people look like humans. They just have magical powers. And then them going down to this fairy world and like then coming back up and like aging automatically because they had spent like 5 minutes there, but that's like 100 years here. Or like the fairy people aren't like little winged creatures. They're just like mystical creatures. So I think it's kind of cool. I wouldn't want to mess with a fairy person. Or there was like people who thought that their babies were changelings, but I think they just had colic. So they like threw them in the well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because if you give your baby back, they might like release your baby. But yeah, so I'm sure there was like old superstitious people who really thought, and I'm sure it was just like a dodge or like a, you know, a baby that was like sick or whatever. So that's kind of sad. But yeah.
Yeah. And not to get sidetracked too much, but I believe there's a legend about like maybe fairies like switching out people's children. Is that a thing? Or is,
yeah, that's
that up?
No, yeah, that's the baby thing. That's where like some people would have put their babies in the wells or left them out in the woods because they believe that if your baby's like screaming or crying all of the time, which I think in hindsight is probably like colic or just like a sick baby, but they thought a fairy person came in, switched out your baby, that was a changeling, and that you had to give your baby, your changeling back to them and hope to return to get your baby returned. But that thing is not your baby. That also could have been just like babies like who had like maybe like were paralyzed or like conditions that they didn't have scientific terms for now. So there was just probably something. Yeah. So it's kind of sad, but yeah, they believed in changelings.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. Any water-based kind of lore that comes from there as well?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we just heard about the Loch Ness in Scotland. So yeah, no, I don't think so.
Well, that's good to know. I'm definitely going to dig a little bit deeper in that. I'm very fascinated by that. So thank you for that info. But as for Champ, he's definitely one of the more famous, I would say, in America. A lot of people go and visit him. And nobody really knows what he is. He's been cited dating back all the way to the indigenous tribes. They have monsters. They have stories about monsters in that body of water, about a snake-like creature that's really big, has a really big horse head, that, you know, it's just deeply embedded into their culture. So I find it very interesting about how embedded it is, how embedded cryptids are into indigenous culture. It seems like a lot of them start there and then just kind of morph their way out. And as more people come to the area, they have their own versions, and it just kind of grows from there.
Why do you think that Nessie has such a better PR campaign than Champ? Because I had not really heard of Champ until you told me that's who we were covering. Once I started looking into it, I was like, okay, this sounds kind of familiar, but I feel like I've known who the Loch Ness Monster is since I've had the internet, at least.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's kind of twofold. I think it's because Champ feels kind of regionalized at times. Like, unless you're like up in the Adirondacks or something and you're like hiking and you're really deep into looking into history and seeing what's in the water, or you're a fisherman or something like that, or you just happen to pass by like a memorabilia store, like you really don't think about how many times you've probably heard about Champ, as opposed to, you know, the Loch Ness Monster, who's from Scotland. So it's like a countrywide, it's a countrywide thing. People are from across the entire, you know, scope of the country are talking about Nessie all the time. And I just think it's kind of the country versus like just a region in a country comparison.
So with Champ, I know that I was trying to find like some good pictures or video. I was struggling. Did you have much success locating any like great pictures or evidence?
Very similar to Nessie. Like, either you're going to get something that's super blurry and it's like, that could be a log or a garbage bag or, you know, a pile of leaves or something. Like, it's the same thing with Champ. Champ and Nessie are the same. I guess they're twins or something, because they managed to create the same type of pictures. And it's very far and in between. There's one good one that happened in the 80s. I believe it's the Mansi photo. And everybody's like, that's the one. That's how we know it's a plesiosaurus. But even then, I don't know. You know, it could be anything.
Katie, why do you think all these cryptids, like, you know, Bigfoot, Nessie, Champ, why are they all so blurry?
I mean, there could be loads of reasons, I guess. Usually because people are fucking running. It's hard to take a photograph, you know? The poor Bigfoot is probably like, hi, saying cheese, and you're gone legging it. Or, yeah, it could be like a mystical thing that it's like, but, you know, it could be as well that you're seeing something from like a different dimension. So it's not like fully, you know, so it doesn't really take. Or the photograph just doesn't work on those mystical creatures. I could be anything. Who knows?
I have a theory about that that I've been very vocal in sharing, especially around Bigfoot. You know, maybe Bigfoot's blurry, and maybe, you know.
I love that.
So maybe,
yeah, his Wi-Fi is not working.
No. Yeah. Stuck in the stream. Oh my gosh. Well, is the lore around Champ, is it a violent cryptid, or do people think of it as like a friendly dinosaur?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that you say that, because it's not violent, I would say. I don't think there's any reported, like, I got attacked by Champ. It's more so, oh, wow, I saw something that I can't explain in this water, and now I'm running, pretty much, or it's gone before I can really, you know, acknowledge that it happened. So not violent, just strange. And if you kind of, if you know, like, about, you know, any body of water that dumps off into the ocean eventually, there's so much strange stuff in that water. And, like, we barely know what's in the ocean now. So, it realistically could be some type of, like, ancient, you know, sea creature that's been thriving, that's come into the lakes and swims back out to the ocean, and then comes back into the lake and swims out to the ocean. Very much different than, like, Nessie, of course, which is kind of a landlocked body of water. Me personally, I think it's a conglomeration of different animals that people have all just kind of assigned to one specific entity.
What was the, I don't know, it sounded like you're describing a dinosaur. What was that word you used earlier to describe it?
A plesiosaurus.
What is that?
It looks like, the best way I can describe it is like a water horse with manatee arms and and that's the best way I can describe it. With a long neck, it looks like it has the head of a giraffe and like manatee arms or fins, and kind of like the back of a manatee. It's a very, it's hard to explain, to be completely honest. It just looks like a water dinosaur, essentially. That's the best way I can describe it without sounding like a goof.
Goof aside, Katie, are there in Ireland, is there like a certain type of dinosaur that people associate with Ireland? Or I've never really thought much about paleontology in other countries.
I don't even know if there was ever any dinosaur bones found in Ireland. I don't think so.
That makes me feel better. I was like, maybe I'm just small-minded and never.
No, I was just looking up the Champ guy there. He kind of just looks like, yeah, like a dinosaur. I'm going with that. He's a little dino. He survived. He's old. But yeah, no dinosaurs in Ireland, I don't think. They never told me.
They never told you. Which, speaking of PR agents, I feel like Leprechaun definitely probably got the best out of all of them from the serial. This is going to be a really stupid question, Katie, and it's going to be one of those where you're just like, oh, fucking Americans. But one, do people eat Lucky Charms in Ireland? If not, I'm seeing you shake your head. What did you think?
For the audio, no.
And when you've been in the U.S. for a while now, how do you feel about how the U.S. treats the lore of leprechauns?
I think, like, whatever you want to, if it makes you have fun, fine. I think Irish people have definitely been misrepresented, true American. And it's amazing now, like, even this year, I think, is going to be really great for Ireland because with the Oscars and proper, you know, even like with Dairy Girls and stuff like that, people are, and even that is like set in a different time. But I still think, for the longest time, everybody thought like leprechauns and top of the morning to you, and Lucky Charms is just like going to kill you. So like the most American cereal out there. Another one is there's a lot of Irish things over here that aren't actually real to Ireland, but I guess it's very cartoonized. I think the leprechaun. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dairy Girls is an amazing show. Definitely recommend it.
No leprechauns in that.
No leprechauns.
I mean, I think leprechauns probably just came out from maybe the, you know, like a, it's just from, I don't know what the right word is, but people who are shorter, you know, and I think that's just what it was. I think that's where that kind of, I don't think there was actual.
Right. Maybe just some diagnosed or classification of like little people or shorter people.
I guess the whole thing of leprechaun, the lore of it is that they like not just the gold and the rainbows, but that they like steal, they rob from you, they're like pickpockets. So maybe there was just like a couple of short guys going around pickpocketing people and they were like fucking leprechauns.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey everyone, it's Noah Daniels and I'm here to talk to you again about Wild Grain. Our last shipment of Wild Grain was so good that my 4-year-old cannot stop asking for more of that awesome bread with dinner. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm right there with him. And honestly, there's nothing quite like the smell of fresh bread baked coming from the oven. What if I told you that you too could get that delicious experience of homemade bread with none of the time and work involved? Well, you can by ordering from Wild Grain. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. When you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Yeah, and in true American fashion, we go and make a caricature out of something that's very deeply embedded in somebody's history, of course. And I'm sure the Mobile Leprechaun didn't do leprechaun lore any favors.
Oh, yeah, gosh. I have to. Hold on. I'll just go get the book. One sec. I'll go get.
She scurries off. She did. She did go quickly.
Written by what's his name? He's the famous guy. I can't remember his name now. Oh fuck. But it's like Irish folklore and fairy tales, and they have a whole chapter on what the OG. I can't remember the guy's name, and it's like edited by. I'm like, I don't care who it's edited by. Who's the guy? He's like a famous guy. Anyway, W.B. Yeats. It has like what the OG leprechaun stories were. So, but yeah, they were just like, so it's like, it did come from Ireland, obviously, the whole leprechaun thing, but yeah, it just became a caricature here. And then a movie series.
Those horror movies are something else for sure. And not to sidetrack us even more, but I have to apologize to the audience. I don't get to talk to Katie very much anymore. So it's just, you know, I have all these questions. What am I going to do? Katie, how often in your daily life do you get just really dumb questions about Ireland?
Oh, yeah, every day for sure. But that's okay.
Does it work its way into your material?
Not really anymore, because it's just too obvious nearly. It's kind of like, whatever. Yeah, I have an accent. Okay. but of course. I mean, I think as well, even for Irish Americans who are like long gone from Ireland, from like the famine, they have America has such a identity crisis, and people really hold on to. And I think their version of Ireland is very different to the Ireland that I come from, which is totally fine. And, you know, for them keeping up old traditions and stuff like that. But I think they're quite disappointed when they meet me and they're like saying some proverb that I don't know what the fuck they're saying. I'm like, do you river dance? I river dance. And I'm like, couldn't even if you held a gun to my head. So it's just a different country now. It's, you know, but in one way, like it of course is nice to see, like when I see Irish Americans playing Irish football, I'm like, oh, that's great. Cause we still play that in Ireland. So that's nice. But yeah, sometimes like I went to my friend's house we were doing a St. Patrick's Day comedy show, and we stopped in hers to go to the toilet, and it was like St. Patrick vomited all over her house. And she's so nice and great, but she was so embarrassed. They even had like shamrock towels, and I was like, that's so funny, because that would never be, no one would dress up their house for St. Patrick's Day in Ireland or even own shamrock anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge party holiday here.
Yeah, it is.
I know, and I'm sorry. Oh my God. I wish people would stop using an excuse to like just throw up green everywhere and be like, I'm Irish. My friend Aaron McCann has a great joke about it because he said he came over here and there's all these Irish Americans wearing the Kiss Me, I'm Irish. And he's like, I'm Irish. You're stealing my kisses. So, Aaron McCann. That's his joke, but it's the best. I'm going to quickly look while you guys are talking and see if I see any cool I'm going to see if there's any lake monsters. It says that there's the leprechaun part 4, if anybody wants to read it. But I mean, I'm going to look and see if there's any lake monster while you're talking about.
Cool. Well, Joshua, speaking of the color green, what color is Champ? Like, what do people believe the actual visualization is of this cryptid?
For the earlier reports, so one of the first reports comes from around like the 1600s. That was actually documented, and it was the explorer of the actual area. His last name was either Champagne or Champlain. I'm pretty sure it's Champlain, Samuel de Champlain. And he said that he saw a gigantic thing in the water, and it had to be like 20 feet or so. And it was silvery and kind of greenish, had hard scales, which many believe actually turned out to be debunked to be an alligator gar or some type of sturgeon. So I believe it was an alligator gar the first go round. And so sturgeon are actually native to that area, and they eventually kind of got wiped out, and they were very kind of small and in low population and were endangered, I would say maybe like 50 years ago or so. So people would describe what kind of sounds like a sturgeon, hard scaly back, gigantic fish, kind of looks like a snake. Because if you see a sturgeon in the water swim, it kind of looks serpent like. So that's been the kind of the lower key description. The other descriptions, of course, is like it's really big, it's like 40 feet long, it has gigantic eyes like you peeled back an onion, and very descriptive, big fins and flippers, and it goes through the water in like a hump. So that's the other kind of extraordinary description that people have said that they've seen. And usually they see, you know, they see this like, you know, 200 yards away, which is, I mean, the human eyesight is not that good. So
I mean, I've seen things in my living room that's not right, you know, like I see it for a split second and then it's like my cat, or I see a pile of black clothes and then I go to pet it and it's not my cat. So like, you can't even trust your eyes when things are very close. Your brain just makes up the images.
Yeah, and I mean, I've leaned in to look at y'all like several times, and my screen's right here. So
well, because we're so pale, we're just blending in with the
speak
background.
For yourself, okay? I tan in the summer. I found the Irish lake monster guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is one. So it's in Irish folklore. He inhabits the lakes of Clarny. I shouldn't presume he's a man, but anyway, Mucky. Mucki. Maybe it's like Mookie, but Mucky.
I don't know. I like the way you say that, though.
Yeah, me too.
All these things have such fun names, like Nessie, Champ, and Mookie. Mucky. They seem like they would hang out together.
Yeah, Mucky sounds like literally sounds like a drunk. This feels offensive.
Katie, have you ever seen an alligator gar? Are you familiar with what that is?
No. Is that... Wait. I saw that movie Lake Placid and there was a massive alligator. I feel like, is that inspired by Champ or?
Well, so, and Joshua can speak to this too. I know he's an outdoorsman, but so an alligator gar is like, he was saying, it's like kind of a long scaly fish, but its head, it has like pretty big teeth, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Like it's super gnarly looking. I know we caught one on accident one time fishing when I still lived in Mississippi. And I remember asking my dad, like, what the hell is this thing? Because we had to be really careful unhooking it because, like, it was a pretty violent fish.
Jeez, but it's a fish. It's an alligator fish.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it looks like it's part reptile and fish.
That feels like when people are related and have sex or something. I know it works out a lot. So like, do you know what I mean? No offense to people who that works out and they like to do that. But like, do you know what that feels like? Like a cat and a dog had sex and they should. Do you know that sounds like a fish and an alligator got cozy.
It got frisky.
And it looks like an unholy alliance too. Mm-hmm. It like every bit of it. Like if you ever catch if you kind of to know this point, if you ever catch an alligator gar, that's like the scariest, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes of you just trying to unhook your line because you're like, I mean, what do I do with you?
Yeah, its teeth are just can be kind of massive. And also you think you've got like this big fish on the line and as she gets closer, you're just like, damn it, I've got a monster on the end of my hook, you know?
It's like, do I cut my line or do I like take my losses? Like, well, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah, so I could see, you know, like you were saying, I could see how people could mistake those for something, but it's also kind of hard to, I mean, Loch Ness monsters, champ, like all these things, they are projected as like these big creatures with a hump and the head coming out. And there are people that really swear by seeing these. And I actually remembered where I saw champ for the first time. I believe it was in a Paw Patrol episode. Katie, this is how long it's been since we've seen each other. I now have a 2, almost 3-year-old kid.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And
that really shits on my news of having a cat. Never have a child.
Whatever, you have a comedy career. That's very impressive in and of itself. But yeah, I remember that's where it was like one of the episodes where one of like the bad kid or whatever took the submarine down and they were all looking for, you know, Champ or Nessie or whatever. You're obviously, you know, still in the comedy scene, very much at play there. What is like kind of the rest of this year looking like for you?
I don't know. I have oh my God. Yeah. If there's any listeners who are in Houston, I'll be there March 4th, headlining the Secret Group.
Hey.
And then,
nice.
Yeah. Then the other ones are just local. I'm in like a place in Yonkers for Valentine's Day. And then on Sunday, this place Rockwell's, or in 2 Sundays, but yeah, I don't, you know, I have to start making some just like more touring dates, really. I want to go to Austin. Where are you guys based?
I'm in Atlanta and Joshua's in Auburn, Alabama. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. I want to go to more places. So that's really the plan, is just to tour more and keep gigging as much as possible. But other than that, I don't know, fucking hopefully get more people viewing the podcast. So yeah. Maybe I'll get a cryptoid on and I'll be like, here's the first interview with Champ. To turn the questions on you. What are your tips for people growing their podcast?
Oh man. You've
killed it.
I think the biggest thing, well, I mean, Katie, you know this. It's like consistency is key, right? You gotta let your audience know, and they've got to be able to rely on you to release every, whatever your platform is. For us, it's every Monday. And then I love to do these bonus episodes when we can on Thursdays. I also think that it helps when you can find a niche. So, you know, people, while yes, there are podcasts that appeal to a general audience. I mean, I think of the ones that I listen to, a lot of them at one time were like true crime or, you know, very comedian specific podcasts, like maybe it's Bad Friends or, you know, whatever. I think that is a big part. Marketing is really difficult in the podcast genre, because even though podcasts have been around for a while, not everybody listens to them. I also think there's a oversaturation of podcasts now, which that will kind of figure itself out as time goes on. But for me, I found that doing some marketing on Reddit helped a little bit here and there. The biggest thing is just going on other people's podcasts that, you know, are willing to promote you. And I always try, and you know, this is to develop a real relationship with the people that I have on the podcast, just because I think those really, well, one, it's fun, but I think they also pay off over time, because you never know who's going to need to promote what you can promote on their vehicles. And I think as long as you're open and honest with your space, most people will return that as well. Although I have had some friends get quote unquote too big, where like I'll contact them, they'll be like, well, Netflix is handling all my PR, let me swing back around in 4 months. And I'm like, but whatever, I mean, it's fine, you know, that's just part of being like an indie podcast. For us, the lightning in the bottle was TikTok. Not that we're big on TikTok, we don't have a huge footprint there. It's something that we plan on expanding, and I personally plan on doing more stuff with TikTok as I have time. But finding out who, you know, kind of fits our model and then bringing them on. And sometimes those people's followings from TikTok or maybe even Instagram will translate to downloads, especially if they're a personality. Like, for example, Katie, the first time you came on, I remember specifically that started our fan base in Ireland. Not that it's like huge, but I mean,
okay.
We didn't have...
Okay, we could have stuffed at that. We didn't need to add that extra.
No, I just mean, not that we're huge in Ireland, but it did give us a base in Ireland, which is so cool. And now we're in, I want to say 59 countries or something like that. But back then that was big for us, you know, because one person hears and they share and whatnot. But yeah, and if anybody's listening who is going through that process now, feel free to like email or DM us. It's something I really enjoy talking about, you know, and have even mentored some of my friends that are just now really amping up in that world. But I think it just takes patience. It takes doing it and not missing any episodes. And it takes a little luck to having that right guest on, having that maybe stuff that's not even in your control, where somebody who has a little bit of cachet finds your product and then shares it to their fan base. I mean, that's always the dream, right? Next thing you know, you've got an influx of all these new listeners. But, you know, it's fun. I mean, it's the grass is always greener, right? I envy you because all you need is a microphone and a stage. You know why podcasting and everything is great. You just need a space and, you know, whatever, however many minutes you're turning out now. What's your time that you're doing now?
When I go on the road, I do an hour, but for my special, wow. I did an hour and a half, but that's because I didn't have an opener. And I wanted to do 30 minutes crowd work just to have extra clips to promote it.
Yeah.
So that was like an hour and a half for the whole show. But yeah, no, because I just started investing in a studio and it costs like a lot each. And my listenership on my podcast is like probably about like 3,000 downloads a week. But it's like, maybe I'm mental. Maybe I'm just throwing money at something I shouldn't be doing. Like, do you know, now I'm like, but I don't know. I'm just kind of a friend of mine invested in a studio and it really helps like reach a different. And I never want to give up the podcast because those are my people in Ireland and they came out to the shows in Dublin. So. Yeah. Yeah, I just don't know if it's worth investing in, but I guess
video part of it. Yeah, I mean, it
feels like you're just throwing money at someone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's why mine is kind of a homebrew setup because I was able to kind of get this going, you know, over time and kind of build it out as I can. But it's hard. I mean, we don't even really use our video that much. Every now and then we do.
See, this is the dream. No, I'm just, you know, in 6 months I'll be down a couple of grand and I'll be like, well, that was a waste. We'll see. If everybody's listening, go watch. Leave it on the background.
Katie, as we kind of wrap up, and Joshua will also get some more tidbits about Chomp before we finish, but I know we mentioned your podcast, but can you kind of give us a rundown of maybe what's coming up on your podcast and where our fans can find you for everything you've got going on?
Yeah, so it's called, I'm at Katie Boyle Comic and everything, and I just post everything on all social medias there. YouTube is Katie Boyle Comic, TikTok, Instagram, but it's called A Shift, and this week's episode coming up will be with Casey Balsham, and she talks a lot about, she's a comedian, and she jokes a lot about how hard it was to get pregnant in IVF, and it's hysterical, but obviously like a very hard thing she had to go through, so she chatted with me about it, and I just had Garrett Reynolds on, because he was visiting from the Dollop, and that was so much fun. We literally laughed every second. And then I also had a sex therapist on yesterday. So those episodes are coming out and that's like very different. So I was kind of like thinking about that niche thing where you're like, oh, this is so different. But then it's like, well, it is sex, dating, relationships. And it is good to every once in a while have an expert in. But it was like very like kind of serious, informative. And then at one stage, I felt like maybe I was getting therapy. And then the next day, Garrett Reynolds in and we're like talking about cats and like, you know, kissing people in Britain. And so, yeah, so that's it. You know, I think I'm really excited for his episode to come out because he's just great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Katie, you are truly a delight. It has been so much fun just for me personally. And I'm sure Joshua can attest this too, but getting to catch up with you and hear about everything you've got going on in your life. I said it then, I'll say it now. I have no doubt that as you continue on in your comedy career, That world is just going to continue to expand and grow for you. Joshua, one thing I would love to know, and I think I'm going to start asking you on all these episodes, if it was on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe in this specific cryptid of Champ?
I'd probably say an 8.
Okay.
I think that there's more things in the water that we don't understand. And I'm okay with accepting that and just being like, you know what? Maybe there's some truth to some unknown creature in the water. It's almost impossible to get a camera down there and, you know, you can't get a deer camera down in the water and just, you know, throw it up under your boat and just kind of let it sit. So I'd probably say I'm a strong 8. I mean, maybe even a 9.
Well, I certainly would like to believe that there is some dinosaur out there we can all get to see. So that's really fun to hear. And Joshua, sorry, I kind of stepped on your toes of letting you wrap up the episode. I was just kind of fanning out over Katie and taking up as much of her time as I could. Katie, did you have anything else for the audience before we wrap up?
No, it was really nice to meet you, Joshua. So we should definitely link up. And I'm with you. There's definitely societies. I believe there's like societies maybe underneath. The ancient people could be living in there underneath. I don't know, or the mermaid people, whatever. There could be anything. We'll never know. It's too far. It's too deep. It's bigger than all of the planet.
I will say I was super disappointed as a kid when, and this will show you how old I am, but I grew up watching the Sea Monkey cartoon. And then when my parents actually got me sea monkeys, I was so bummed out that they were just little brine shrimp. So I don't know what lays under the water, but I certainly believed at that time that there was this whole world of human-like shrimp people swimming around.
Well, it was great having you, Katie. You are very funny. There's some jokes that I will remember from this episode for a very long time. So thank you for coming on. Everybody go watch and listen. Just go and find the Shift podcast and go look at her clips on social media and go find her stand-up. And if you're in New York, you know where you need to be. As for this episode, it's wrapped up. That was all about Champ, the Lake Champlain Monster. Number 7 is, I don't know, I guess you'll see when number 7 happens, but until then, follow me on socials everywhere at Joshua Darren, that's D-A-I-R-E-N. I talk ghost stuff and history and force people to learn while being scared. Thank you, Noah, for having us, and until next time.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.